From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome back our listeners to our latest show for Stop Chasing, Start Living. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host. It's been a joy to go on the journey of this show. And, my role is to serve in that space of generosity and stewardship at Messiah Lutheran, where I go to church and where I serve. And as part of that, just really love digging into topics that impact our world around us and dig into how the things happening in life, how God is encouraging us to navigate those things. So if you're with us last time, had a chance to bring on Shannon Meyer, who had an opportunity to share from her heart about, what does it look like? And she teaches and serves in our school in the first grade classroom. How do you teach kids about money and spending? And how do you model that great behavior and good habits in the home, so kids can learn that from an early age? Just had a great conversation with her about that. And as a reminder, this show is all about faith and finances and just how we do life together. And today I'm super excited to dig into the topic of kind of good financial management, practical strategies. There's just a lot of, we're all busy. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world. And I think sometimes one of the last things we want to spend time on is our bank accounts and our finances and planning around those things. And yet when we do those things well, there's a lot of opportunity to be a blessing through that extra work that we put in. And so today I'm super excited to be joined by Nathan Mueller. He's been a great resource here at Messiah to families, but even prior to being at our church here at Messiah, has had a chance to do some teaching in this biblical stewardship space, biblical literacy, financial literacy, and through Financial Peace as part of a platform. But just in general, this topic is a really, really important one, I know, to Nathan. And so, Nathan, welcome.
Yeah,
welcome to the show. Thanks, today. I'm going to ask you to just share a little bit about your background, your kind of history, I guess, especially as it pertains to kind of this whole opportunity to teach this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as Scott mentioned, my name is Nathan Mueller. To give you a little bit about myself, so I have a beautiful wife, Nicole. We've been married for 18 years, definitely no longer newlyweds at this point.
For sure.
We have two fantastic kiddos, so Jensen and Astrid, who are in middle school and finishing elementary school here at Lutheran Schools here in town. And,
yeah.
A little bit about my background with finance. So I graduated from the university, UNL here, with a finance degree, and moved into various financial roles outside of that. And so then really that kind of jump-started my passion towards finance, mm-hmm. and really starting to go, okay, I have a skill set here and I have something that I want to share.
Yeah.
And so then that started me down the path of, well, how can I teach others? What can I do? And so Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, mm-hmm. was something that was out there and available. My current church at the time was looking for teachers. So got involved helping teach FPU. And then on top of that, I've also taught pre-marriage financial classes along mm-hmm. the way as well.
Yeah.
And so both of those I've probably taught 20 plus times each. And,
yep.
Just really enjoy kind of sharing those nuggets of wisdom with people.
That's awesome. And I just less than a week ago walked my daughter down the aisle, and as part of their whole kind of ramp up for the wedding, I encouraged them to jump into some learning in that financial peace space. And I think the biggest challenge is, there's so much tugging on people's times, especially as almost newlyweds. How do you create the priorities to do those things? So dad's going to keep asking how that's coming for them.
Hopefully you set them up strong as they're going in there. So
amen to that. Well, I always love to start off with my guests on this show to just kind of, I think when we better understand each other's stories around money, it's easier to understand where people are coming from. And so I'd love for you to just kind of share a little bit, especially as you and Nicole got married and started started formulating your kind of family philosophy and your rhythms around spending and saving and budgeting and all those kinds of things. Talk just a little bit about, and you, it could even go back as far as growing up and kind of what you learned from parents and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, well, I could probably teach a master class on this one. So get ready for a 4-hour.
Right. Love it.
This is such an important question. So it's one of the ones that I bring up in the pre-marriage class of how important it is to understand your relationship, your personal relationship with money, as well as your spouse's relationship with money, right? Both their relationship with it, what the lessons that they were taught, how they grew up, those kind of things. Whether you're single, whether you're married, it doesn't matter, right? Understanding that will help dictate some of how you view money, whether you budget or not, how you save, all those things. So to give you an example, so my wife is probably one of the most frugal people I've ever met. Turns out my father-in-law is also one of the most frugal people that I ever met.
She learned it close, right?
Right? You know, those two things are probably related to each other.
I agree.
And early in our relationship, that did cause some frustration between us, right? We'd be at the grocery store and I'd try to put Oreos in the cart and she would go, "Oreos aren't on the list. We don't need Oreos."
That's awesome.
Right? So understanding some of those things were just kind of incredibly important for us. And so then as you talk about, understanding and having discussions around family size, around private versus public education, around tithing, vacations, all those kind of things, right? I mean, all of that just plays into that history and where you came from, like the public versus private. She was public school born and raised. I was private school born and raised, right? So those are different discussions
very
that are both, tactical, but they're also financial.
Right.
And so understanding those components and really getting down to the brass tacks of like setting goals around those were just so important. And as part of our, early marriage and all the way through.
Yeah. And you very quickly went down the road of quite a few different things that have some kind of tentacles back into funding and costs.
Yeah.
And then, how do we spend our money? And I think that's the thing that's fascinating about, especially when we don't spend time around this and we don't spend time in planning, just how much of our lives is connected to money and resources.
100%.
And the less time we spend in that space being intentional, we're only going to just be tugged whichever direction kind of the flavor of the day is, so to speak. And a lot of times that means you're wasting stuff, which is really sad.
Right. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that, we hear constantly within FPU or other places of just, I don't have time.
Right.
I don't have time to budget. I don't have time. But most of us do have time to worry about money.
Right.
And so taking that time to actually step back and do some of that planning, maybe put down social media for a half hour to pick up a spreadsheet for a half hour. Yeah. I know that's not nearly as exciting.
Some people don't love spreadsheets.
Well, that's fine. There's other apps, right? There's plenty of apps out there that can help you with it too. But
oh, that's great. We'll talk a little bit with our listeners about kind of the types of people you've had a chance to teach over the years. What motivates people to jump into a class and take back control of finances and be in something like a Financial Peace University?
Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place, right? I've people come into the classes who have no knowledge, but a desire, right, to get their finances in order, all the way up through the flip end of the spectrum of, we think we're doing it right. We really just want that, good old discount double check that we are doing things correctly, right? And everything in between. Sometimes people have a desire to fix it. Sometimes they don't, but they know that they should. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of different family makeups who have come, single people, married, recently divorced and everything all in between, the younger, newlyweds who are looking to get their finances in order versus the, hey, I'm 50 and I have $10,000 in my retirement account and I need help. Right. And so it's never too late. It's never too early to get started down that path.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of churches like ours that make it a requirement at some point through the premarital counseling and conversations to make sure the topic of money and understanding each other's money story and just at least dabbling slightly in this topic because we know the stress that money can cause in a marriage. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really thankful that you and others get to pour into those that are getting ready to be married, kind of formally through our campus, because that's one of the important topics that gets talked about there. So obviously there's a lot that can go in. There are a lot of things that you can talk about when it comes to, financial literacy, biblical financial literacy. And I know that Financial Peace has kind of their framework and structure, but as you kind of think about your opportunities to have taught these classes and really dug in with people, share a little bit about, what's kind of the scope of what you have the opportunity to get into conversations with people and share and teach them through that class.
Yeah. So, really kind of separated into a couple different things. So one, it's important to realize it's not as hard as you think it's going mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah.
Right. It really comes down to setting a budget, and a lot of people get scared of that concept of creating a budget, but really a budget is as simple as understanding how much money do you have coming in,
mm-hmm.
how much money do you have going out,
right,
and setting a plan around that.
Right.
And so it's no more or less complicated mm-hmm. than that. And so mm-hmm. helping people understand that, and get some of that under their belt. From there, it's understanding your debt.
Yeah. Right?
Understand, because there's a lot of people who don't know how much debt they have, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's credit card debt or student loan debt or whatever that may be. Right?
Right.
And so helping get those pieces under control so that they at least have an understanding mm-hmm. and then creating that plan around those components. As you talk about the Christian stewardship or in some of those pieces, then that gets into, a lot of that more philosophical discussion of, these resources that have been provided to us from God, right? We are the stewards mm-hmm. of those finances.
Right.
So helping people kind of wrap their mindset around that of God wants us to create these plans around, mm-hmm. These finances, and he's giving us these gifts to manage mm-hmm. and manage effectively. And so then kind of tying that into some of the discussion as well.
Right. I find it fascinating. You think about scripture was written thousands of years ago. Some of it early in the Bible, going way, way, way back. And yet when you actually get back into scripture and dig into a variety of different places, it is very biblical. It is very scriptural, to be a people of planning, mm-hmm. To be a people of trust, to be wise with our money, to be wise with these things. And, it's especially as we start growing in our hearts and as God starts really moving in and through us, I think there's an opportunity when you go back into scripture, like, oh yeah, it's talking about debt there. Or, oh yeah, it's framing like, why should you put money aside? So I think it is really powerful. Especially as Christians, we can actually really dig into this as a reminder of really foundational teachings that have taken place for generations,
right?
A long, long time. And when it comes to budgeting and things like that, I think there's this weird fear around, like, I don't want to be held slave to this, this expectation, this budget's going to rule me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet biblically it says, don't be slave to the lender. Like, if you don't do this, you're kind of a slave to your spending habits, your patterns, and all those kinds of things. And actually that's the chaos and headspace most people don't want to be in, and yet they can't find their way out of it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And, I think as you start to dive into what are some of those lies that people tell each
right.
other about, or tell themselves, right, about money, about
right.
budgets, about those things. That's a big one, right? Is a budget will limit me.
It's going to take away all my fun.
Right. whereas what I can tell you from personal experience, right, a budget provides some peace of mind.
Yeah.
Right. It provides us that layer of control, of mm-hmm. understanding, of knowing what's going on with our money. Cause then you can make purposeful decisions to go to that concert, to get your daily, seven brew or
latte,
right? Whatever it may be, right? Go get your bubbler or whatever the current Celsius, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
the
exactly. right?
But
all these kids drinking today, anyway. Right?
gives you your, that ability to go do mm-hmm. that. And, mm-hmm. And I think there's a number of other, maybe lies or excuses that we give ourselves that are important to dig into. One of them is it's too late, right? It's too late for me. Or my situation is too complex.
Right.
And so they just, I won't be able to figure it out.
It's too hard,
right? It's too hard. That's what, you know, there's financial planners. That's what financial planners are for. They have seen it all.
Some of the ugliest things.
Right. Yes. And it's never too late, right? Mm-hmm. If you're 50 and you only have $10,000 in your retirement account, hopefully you have another good 10, 15 plus years in your working career to build that up. And so now is the time, mm-hmm. right? To go mm-hmm. start to save up and to make those changes within your budget. You know, mentioned earlier, I don't have the time. Well, how about maybe pause this podcast right now? Go.
Wait a minute. No, finish the podcast. There's other good tidbits. Then go do it.
but pause that show for a little bit or do it while you're watching, you know, whatever your favorite show is of the moment. Right. And so create that time to mm-hmm. give yourself that peace of mind, to get your budget under control and start to create some of that for yourself, that peace for yourself.
And kind of getting to that space of accountability. I had a previous guest on, Misty Rauscher, life coach. And she got into that space about literally like setting goals. And she even spoke about a client. She said, as soon as we get off this phone, you're going to go, I think it was something to do with finishing a will or something. And literally once somebody else spoke that into him, he went and did it. And I think sometimes that's what we need. And that's even a blessing of taking one of these classes. There can be some built-in accountability if you let it be there with the instructor, with the fellow classmates. But certainly if you're in a marriage, that accountability comes from two people working together and setting, really working hard on some common goals and deciding what matters and then actually making a plan to go chase what matters to them.
Yeah, I think kind of one of the things you mentioned there is important, right? As you start to set a budget, as you start to attempt to get your finances under control, having those accountability partners within that, mm-hmm. whether that be your spouse, whether that be a friend, a parent, whomever, right, is just so important, right? It's you know, as you look at studies as to people who are starting to exercise again, right? And if you can get involved with a running group, if you can mm-hmm. get involved with, you know, some sort of workout group at your yep. gym or whatever, yep. that will hold you accountable. And exactly. it's the same thing here, right? It's easy maybe to put those first, you know, pieces of calculations in a budget, mm-hmm. but then it can also be hard to follow through on it over time. Right. So having that accountability partner who is helping you stay accountable to it is very important.
That's awesome. So I'm guessing you've seen some pretty interesting, like barriers people have kind of, even as they've gotten into the class and you've tried to walk with people and help coach them and those kinds of things where, you're seeing they really want to do it, but there's just something they're not getting over. Like what, is there some common themes there? And if so, like what's that step to get past those barriers to making effective change?
So there's, you know, quite a few, right? I'll try to limit it a little bit, right? One of them is just the habits.
Okay.
Right? We get ourselves into these habits of
ruts.
I want, yeah. right? And I want my daily coffee run. I want whatever that may be, right? And so to break some of those habits can be very difficult. Mm-hmm. And so taking and having that willpower to actually kind of break through those habits and make changes is a tough one.
Yeah.
There's, I would say maybe a toddler in all of us as well that doesn't want to be told no.
Right.
Right. And that's some of what creating a budget does as well, right?
You gotta make choices.
You have to make choices and you have to start telling yourself and or your spouse or your kids mm-hmm. no. So it's fighting through that urge to throw the temper tantrum, right? And not want to be told no, and having the willpower to kind of get beyond that. One other big thing, right, is communication. And if the right communication avenues haven't been set up, that's kind of another barrier mm-hmm. that I've seen to some of this, right? If the two individuals, you know, married couple are not on the same page associated with it and aren't willing or wanting to talk about it, that can be a huge barrier. Mm. And so really taking that time to set up communication mm. around it as well, You know, and so what are some things that maybe have helped through that? Prayer, right?
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big piece that
kind of works in a lot of things, doesn't it?
Right. Turns out, God is there to help, you know, and, you know, you mentioned all the places in the Bible that finances are written. Your financial problems are not too small for God to care about. Mm-hmm. And so, asking God for help, for that willpower, for help with communication, for whatever it may be within that space is an important piece of
inviting him into it.
Mm-hmm. Involving the kids can be a great solution here, right? Because if you start to change things for your kids, you may start to get some pushback from them. And so involving them as part of the process can be a great way to teach them, but also a great way to, kids are very good at holding you accountable to.
You said you weren't going to get that coffee, Dad.
Yep. I might've heard some of that kind of stuff along the way. That's outstanding. So involving them can be a great way. And then, you know, you mentioned goals a minute ago. Establishing a shared goals and vision for what you want to do is important.
Right.
If your goal is we're just going to budget, you're probably not going to be successful, right? If your goal is we are going to knock out debt, right? That's a goal and a vision. When we were early on in our married life, honestly, it was I think even before we got married, Nicole had said, "I want to go to Paris." Mm-hmm. And so we set a goal then that within the first 2 years of us getting married, we were going to save up enough money to go to Paris debt-free. And we did it, right?
But because you wanted to that bad.
Right, right. And we set that goal and that vision for this is how we are going to run our budget and this is how we are going to save for that. And so having specifics that you're striving for can be a great strategy.
Yeah, and as you were talking there and talking about communication and being on the same page, I'm guessing you've probably had some pretty real hard examples where you could clearly see one spouse wanted it bad and the other one was just struggling to come alongside or was just kind of there for the ride, but not all in. Mm-hmm. Guessing that causes quite a bit of challenge getting all the way home on effecting change.
It does. It does. Absolutely. You know, and it can be as small as things like, should we keep our Costco membership or not? Mm-hmm. Yeah. as big of things as, you know, we want to have, X number of kids. And one of the spouses going, we don't have money for that. Right. And everything
in between. It's very deep and very personal, very quick.
Right. And so those are tough things to talk through and work through. And if there's not open communication channels, it can be tough to come to resolution.
You know, and in some of the financial peace videos and testimonies, one of the things that kind of jumped out to me is, sometimes if you really want to reach your goals, it requires radical change. Mm-hmm. If you've overpurchased your house, if you are over your skis in vehicles or a combination of both, and you've kind of established this as like, this is the life we're living right now. And sometimes if you have a recognition that I'm not going to be able to reach my goals if I keep on the path I'm on, but how do I unwind the house that I'm in or the car that I've overpurchased or, you know, whatever those things are. Obviously you mentioned debt earlier and sometimes how that snowballs and gets completely out of control. That's a pretty tough change. When you talk about like kind of the rhythms we get into, but yet if the goal is strong enough, it will pull you through that challenge to make that change. Cause I really appreciate it. You guys wanted to go to Paris, like, and that became, it kind of trumped all your other decisions, I would guess, in some ways. Mm-hmm. Our budget is going to be driven by the fact that we want to be able to have this experience together.
Right. Right.
And a lot of times people don't even have an idea of what is really the most important. And the reality is kind of their spending habits are actually showing what's most important, mm-hmm. how they spend their money. They've made their choices. They just don't know they have.
Right.
And I'm sure you've seen a lot of pretty ugly examples of that.
I've seen a few.
Yeah,
I've seen a few.
I bet so. So as you think about, you know, really, really awesome breakthroughs, do you have any one or two examples of families you worked with where maybe they came back and shared with you a year or two later of just how much difference the class made? Or I know I've had a few people in my interactions with them here at Messiah just speak to how like a class like Financial Peace completely changed their lives and their marriage and their finances. I'm guessing you have had a few of those.
Yeah, absolutely. So, on some of these kind of things, I'd like to set the bars appropriately, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not going to be the most life-changing thing for everybody.
Right.
Right. And so for some people, the change has been as simple as we got peace of mind, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. we got peace of mind that we were doing it right. Or, you know what? It allowed us to work through this one communication challenge that we were having and, yep. and, as a married couple, and that was great.
Yep.
Right. So it can be as small as that. Upwards of, you know, I had somebody come to me who was $200,000 plus in debt.
Oh, wow.
And over the course of 3 years, they knocked out that entire debt. Like goodness. they were the, yep, sell everything.
Completely right? Hit the reset button.
Completely hit the reset. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And dive into the deep end and go, I am ready for change. Yeah. I am tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I am tired of all of this. And I am going to change my life so that I can manage my money more effectively mm-hmm. and it doesn't manage me. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. There's cool examples like that and everything in between.
Yeah. Right? There's been times where I feel like I've gotten jealous of those that make more money than I do. Especially in the spaces where I see them maybe being very generous with their money, mm-hmm. you know, and either blessing people or ministries with it. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of get into this headspace of, man, I wish I made more so I could be more generous, kind of a feel. And you're almost like, hey, God, if I could make a little more money, I could be more generous. and where I'm going with that is when you talk about priorities and when you talk about getting control and when you talk about setting goals, I think for me, everyone has the opportunity to be generous. But does generosity matter to you? Mm-hmm. What does generosity look like for you? And so even as you get into that space of like, how can I be a blessing to those around me, the community or your church or other nonprofits or whatever else, you're going to have a hard time being generous if you don't have goals around your finances, if you are kind of just riding the waves of whatever's coming at you and you don't have a plan.
Right.
But as soon as that plan gets put in place and as soon as you get some discipline put in place, now all of a sudden the whole playing the chessboard opens up, you know, all your opportunities sit right in front of you. And I think that's, for me, it's like that reverse budget. You know, most people, their priorities in reality end up being completely upside down from what God really wants for us. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we put God first, when we say it's all his anyway, and we're as a family, we've made a decision. We're going to support the church as in the government with our taxes. You know, if those are the two things first things off the board, mm-hmm. there's an intentional decision there to say generosity matters more than everything else in my budget.
Right.
Versus, well, we got to have a house. We got to have a car. There probably should be some nice cars and a nice house. And our kids should probably do club this and club that. And, you know, or the, you know, private school tuition. You go mm-hmm. down the whole list. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, by the way, God, I don't think I have anything extra. And you can just be in the space. Well, I'm having a hard time being generous because, well, there just isn't anything.
Right.
Well, that's because God's at the bottom yep. instead of being flipped the other way. And it, I think to me, when he's at the top or, and a combination of that and great planning and intentional goals, mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden these cool opportunities open up for people to just do pretty amazing things with the resources that God's provided them with.
Yeah. 100%. And, you know, if you kind of layer that into also a discussion around the goals around giving as well, like defining some of that for yourself, mm-hmm. right? You know, there are plenty of not-for-profits across, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, plenty absolutely. Everywhere, right? That yep. that need something, but it can be hard to know who do I give to, what do I give mm-hmm. to, and some of that what I've found be very successful for people, right? As they start to look beyond their tithe, beyond that, mm-hmm. right? And is having discussions around what are you passionate about,
right?
Right. What do you connect with? What are those goals? Who do you want to bless? Right. And if you help set some of those goals and visions for yourself about like, what could that mean? Right. If I'm able to give that organization an extra $100, an extra $1,000, an extra whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. And that can help start to frame some of that for you as well. And then makes it easier to build into your budget, right?
Yeah.
And some of that. So.
Well, and you just see the joy in people's hearts when those doors start opening, when they start catching a little bit of fire around those things. And mm-hmm. frankly, I think that's where Satan wins in our society. He keeps us all spun up and wound up and so busy that we don't even have the time. We don't take the time to get this stuff under control and step into a space where we can find that joy in giving and being generous and support and all those kinds of things. Cause we're too busy chasing life.
Right.
So as we start kind of winding down here a little bit, I'd love to kind of hear if there's any other wisdom, that you'd like to share, any special passages, scripture that are important to you that you found have really been beneficial as you've not only personally approached this topic, but even been a teacher of this topic.
Yeah. So I thought this was, kind of an interesting question as I started to really think about like what this means to me. And, you know, in the Lutheran church, when kids get confirmed, they generally pick out a Bible verse,
right?
And something that meant something to them. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it'll be, you know, Jeremiah 29 of, "For I know the plans I have for you," or, you know, it's the, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," or, you know, just, there's a lot of those that similar to like the wedding Bible verses, right?
That every seems the same for everybody. Yep.
Right. Well, I was always somebody who just cut from a little bit of a different cloth. And so I wanted something that was slightly unique to me. And I hadn't thought about this in quite a few years. And so back in sixth grade, when I got confirmed, here was the verse that I chose. So it's Hebrews 13:5.
Okay.
"Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'"
And that's powerful and very simple in some ways.
Right. Right. So it's kind of let that sink in, right? So keep your lives free from the love of money, right? Some of what you were saying a minute ago of, "Well, if I just made a little bit more," right? Or the American culture of, I need, I want. Keep your lives free from the love of money, right? Be content with what you have. God has given us what we need, right?
Yeah.
Be content with what, it's not easy, right? But that Bible verse, like, as I went back and I looked at it, thought about it, right? It's so powerful. It's succinct. It shows God's love for us. It also shows his feelings around money. He didn't say, "Love money, but love me more."
Right.
"Keep your lives free from the love of money." Mm.
And I think that simple direction in life can take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
Especially how much different you're going to look from the world. Cause what you just said there is like the opposite message of everything we hear and every commercial we watch and everything else in our society fights completely against that.
Yeah.
And yet God knew over 2000 years ago that was an important message to share with us through the writers of Hebrews. So you're probably like, "Dude, why are you getting on your phone texting while we're on this podcast?" So for me, and I wanted to make sure that I was quoting this as at least as close to prop to, well, that's not the version I wanted. Hold on just a second. As I've dug into this whole space of generosity, I think the one for me, the passage for me that has really jumped out, and I think it's just because it's this authentic declaration that takes place as the people are getting ready to, not too far distant future, you know, build out the tabernacle and the temple, and we're in First Chronicles, and David has this prayer where he's basically calling things what they are. "Praise to you, praise be to you, Lord, the God, the Father of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, it's the power, it's the glory, it's the majesty, the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. Into your hands strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give thanks and praise to your glorious name." He just very simply says, "God, all this stuff we're bringing in, all this stuff people donated, all this stuff that we think, oh, we're great for bringing in," he says, it's all yours anyway. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah,
and I think for me, as I was digging into like, you know, my role and how I wanted to get into this space, for me, that was just such a neat reset too. Cause it was, if we can live in that space very much as so, don't have a love of money. If we can live in this space where there's just the ultimate acknowledgement that none of it is mine, it is all yours anyway. You ordained all this from the beginning. It takes this whole need that we all have to be in control. And it says, "God, you're in control. I have control of nothing."
Yeah.
And ultimately, like that's a space where, you can start finding that joy and you can start finding the right priorities when it's not about you anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you know when I figure out how to do that a little bit better. as we wind down today, Nathan, I guess I would ask you, like, is there anything that you feel like you would want to leave with our listeners? Is there maybe they're the person sitting here going, gosh, I just got to figure out how to do this. I'm just not sure what my next step should be. Or, you know, I'm not sure. Is this for me? Is it not for me? Is there any kind of, I get a little tidbit or wisdom that you'd like to share with listeners today?
Yeah, absolutely. So your financial well-being is not a matter of luck, right? It comes through planning. It comes through focus. It comes through some work, right? But it's not a matter of your paycheck size either, right?
Yeah.
We can all find ways to have that balanced budget at the end of the month, but it takes some planning and purpose. And so if you don't have a budget, go make one. If you don't know how to make one, come talk with Scott.
I'll hook you up with Nathan. We'll get this figured out together.
All right. Go find a financial planner in your area, whatever that may be, right? Because there are people there to help you out, to help guide you, to help teach you.
Yep.
And finally, prayer works.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Ask God for help, right? Yeah. And ask him to help you with discipline if that's what you need, or to help you with the tough conversations if that's what you need. Amen. But some way around it, prayer works, right? And ask God for whatever help you need.
Well, that was a perfect segue. Let's do that right now. Father God, I just thank and praise you for this time today with Nathan and for our listeners that have had a chance to hear this episode. And I pray, Lord, that you work in and through some of the things that were shared today. Because it's, Lord, this topic is yours. It's all yours anyway. And I think one of the hardest things sometimes, Lord, is our hearts are so wrapped up in the stuff and the things and the busyness and control. And ultimately, Lord, we have this opportunity to just lay all that stuff at your feet, invite you into it, invite your presence, invite your spirit to guide and direct, ask you for wisdom. And ultimately, you still give us the chance to make choices. But Lord, we just pray that we seek you for those choices and that we ultimately honor you with those choices. So Lord, you know, whatever phase our listeners are at, whatever step they're at, Lord, just a reminder today too, that it will take work. And there's support around, there's ways to learn new things and build new habits and have accountability. And Lord, it all starts with one step. And maybe that first step is just inviting you into the process, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you in advance for how you're going to work in and through the hearts of the listeners today. Because we know ultimately when you move in hearts, the world gets changed. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Nathan, thanks for being with me today. It's been a great show. Really appreciate you, your heart for doing this and the impact you've had on literally probably hundreds of lives through teaching those classes. And sometimes you can get so wrapped up in life that you can kind of forget just how much impact that really matters. So thanks for doing what you do.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Scott.
And to our listeners, stop chasing and let's start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.